Wow. That's a story in itself.
Amen.
He is. He loves like a father should, huh? Yeah. You guys don't know the story behind this little man, but sometime when you get brave enough, we'll let you share your testimony. How's that? Just think about it. Okay. All right. Yeah, I do children's church. I'm more comfortable doing children's church than doing adult church because, like I told you, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. And I still sound weird, but should I just use a mic?
Yeah, probably.
All right, can you mute this and I'll just take it off. Intermission, sorry. Okay. All right. Okay. The title for today, what I have for here is called You or We Have Enough. Do you have enough? Do you even know what I'm talking about, having enough? I'm going to share a little story. I told you how many years that we've been married. We've got four children. And we have two boys and two girls. And then we have 12 grandchildren. And our oldest son, Josh, is married and has three boys, and they live in Wisconsin. He's been in the Navy since high school, and he is in Wisconsin going to Great Lakes, Illinois. He's there at the boot camp, their Army boot camp. He's one of the trainers overseeing one of the areas that the new, recruits go there to get trained. And then our second son, Troy, he drives a log truck. Right now, I think he's working in the woods doing other things, but he's a logger. And he lives up on Boomer Hill, and he's married and has two children. Actually, he has four. Two of them are steps, so that's why I have 12. And then our third one is our oldest daughter, Kayla, who you all have met. She worships here and sings with us sometimes. She lives in Meffords, married and has two kids. And our youngest girl, Lindsay, who is overseeing our children's church, she's mine and Shane's together. So that is our family in a nutshell. And so my story starts out today this. I was in the kitchen, and I heard some screaming and some giggles. And this is when the kids were a lot younger than they are today because they all have their own kids, obviously. And so this is Josh and Kayla when they were little, and we were out on North Myrtle. We had a ranch out there, 10 acres. It was so awesome. I had my own stump. It was just the greatest time. And if you ask any of our kids, what's the greatest time in your life that you remember, they would remember being out on the ranch. Growing up out there, that's their memories. And then if you would ask all my grandchildren, their great memories is the big brown log home in Utah. That's their memories, the grandkids, is being in Utah. So let's just pray first. I'm getting ahead of myself. Father God, I thank you for this time. Lord, I pray. I do pray, Lord, that you would increase in me, that I would decrease. And Lord, I pray that you would not let me say anything that's not of you. And Lord, I just give you all the glory and honor for what you're going to do today. And Lord, those things that you have entrusted to us, Lord, burn this message into the heart of us, Lord. Because your word will not come back void. Your promises are yes and amen. And just like the song said, you are on the throne. You're the God of everything. And you love us. And we love you. Help us to see who we are in you today. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So I don't remember the day or anything. I just remember the memory, okay? And I don't even remember how old they were. But they were pretty little because they thought that a whole lot of $1 bills was a lot of money. Did you ever feel that way when you were little? I mean, five $1 bills is more important than a $10 bill. I mean, I could even offer them, do you want this 10 or do you want five $1 bills? And you show them, I'll take the five $1 bills because that's a lot of money. I'm the only one that felt that way? Okay, so I'm in the kitchen And I heard some screams and giggling going on in the bedroom. And all of a sudden, out bolted Josh. And in one hand, he had an envelope. And in the other hand, he had a whole wad of money. And Kayla is always a sidekick. It's like Batman and Robin. They just were the sidekicks. And I don't remember Lindsay being in the story, nor Troy. So it was just Josh and Kayla. And they come running out. Mom, look what I found. Oh, my gosh, Mom, look at this. Treasure. I found treasure, Mom. In my closet, in this envelope. And Kayla's going, I want some. And so they were just like, you know, so excited, trying to figure out what they're going to do with their treasure, what they just found. And so I said, well, let me look at this. So I looked at the envelope, and come to behold, when you're living on the ranch, there's a lot of chores to do. And sometimes you have to bribe your children to do some of the chores that they don't want to do, like manure, things like that, because we had cows and horses. And so what I did is I was reading the envelope, and it was an envelope that we had put money in it for their allowances. Okay? Are you getting a picture? They thought it was brand new treasure, but they didn't realize it belonged to them already. They just thought, wow, Mom, we found this treasure. Yeah. And I didn't have the heart to tell them that, thank you. Are you afraid I'm going to fall off? Get back over here? Is that what you're telling me? All right. But anyway, they were so excited about this treasure that they had found. And so then I gave them back the envelope and all of that. And so I could hear them laughing and saying, oh, let's go do this and let's go do that. And let's do this with the money and blah, blah, blah. And I was just, all of a sudden, I realized that they were rejoicing over something that they thought was brand new. But it really was something they already had. They just didn't know it. Amazing. And I'm here today to tell you that we too have hidden treasures, and that God has given us gifts, and that God has given us things, and that we don't even realize we have them. And sometimes we realize when it's too late that we actually did have them. And so my children that day were really rejoicing over something that they already had in their possession. And I had entrusted them with this money, which was probably not a good thing to do at their age. But I did, because I thought it was not important, and I thought they'd take care of it. But they just forgot about it, set it aside. Because that's how kids are, right? It's not important. In the moment it is, but it's not. And so I say all that to say that I'm here this morning to tell you that God has some hidden treasures for us as well. And if you know me very much long or been in any of the Bible studies or anything that I do, I love God's Word. And I put myself in God's Word because God's Word's the only thing that matters. My words have no merit, but God's Word has every merit. Amen? And if you're a King's kid, and if you've asked Christ in your heart, then God's Word has merit in you as well. Amen? All right, let's go. So I came to tell you today that not only do you have hidden treasures and things in that, but he's also gifted you. He's also given you power. He's given you tools. He's given you everything that you need in life. And he even won the battle. We forget that. And he's not on the cross. We forget that, too, because we always put him on the cross. But that's not what he's there. Where is he at? He's got on the throne at the right hand. And what is he doing? He's praying for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. We have enough. Hence the name of the title. We have enough. Amen? Okay. You need to know that even if you do not believe what I just told you in Scripture, even if you don't believe what I'm telling you, that this word is infallible and every word is true, and if you don't believe that you've been forgiven, because you have been, the word says that you have been, and you've already have the victory because the battle's already been won, and the enemy is under our feet, do you believe? And that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. And you know, you are sealed. Did you know that? Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. I'm His. Yes. And with the Holy Spirit inside of us, we are a chosen one. Do you believe this stuff? We are set apart. We're called to be King's kids. We are royalty. These are all hidden treasures. Did you know that? These are all hidden treasures. And the devil don't want me to say this because I'm cutting out. And I came to tell you that even if you believe this, even if you don't believe what I'm telling you today, even if you don't believe who you are in Christ, the devil does. The enemy does. Did you hear what I said? He knows. He knows who we are. Wouldn't it be sad that he knows who we are, but we don't? So today I want to share with you some things. But I have a thought first, okay? You listening? Do you know why we are called believers? What does the word believer mean? I believe. What does that mean? You either believe or you don't. Amen? So do we call ourselves believers? Amen. Amen. So we need to start looking for the treasures. We need to start finding those gifts and using those things that we thought maybe weren't important to us. Or things that you've neglected. Or maybe the Lord's laid on your heart something to do and you thought, oh, though, I can't do that. Or maybe God has laid on your heart to do something for someone else. Oh, wait, no, I can't do that. Or maybe God's told you that you're going to do this, or God's giving you a dream or something, and you just let it die. Maybe that was a hidden treasure. I don't know. Sometimes we just push aside, just like my children, they forgot about their envelope of money. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we just want to ignore what we know the Lord's telling us to do. I'm going to ignore it. Go away. Or what we think's not important because it's not, what's the word? Highlighted. Maybe it's just doing the bathrooms. Things like that. It's not enough. It's not valuable to me. Or maybe it's things like, well, if I could just be like her. Or if I could just do what he does. Then I can do. Then I can get. Then I can be. Am I the only one? Do you guys ever have those thoughts, things, whatever? Okay. And I'm here to tell you today that he says that you have enough. We just need to find the envelope. We just need to open the closet. We just need to open our heart. We just need to dream. And by opening our hearts and looking for things that we thought were insignificant, if we would take that little bit we have, and all of those things actually God has entrusted in us, if you ask him in your heart, he's given you all of this, and he's entrusted to us giftings, and he's entrusted to us things that he wants us to use for his glory and his honor. And the gifts are without repentance. I know a man who had a beautiful voice. He could sing. Oh, and he was singing for the Lord for a while, but then he went out into the world and he used his giftings in the world. And I don't even know today if he's even serving the Lord. And I knew another gentleman who played the saxophone. How many of you love the saxophone? Oh, I love the saxophone. And I met this man and he had CDs. He was amazing. Nowadays, you don't have CDs. You don't even know maybe what I'm talking about, but whatever. He could play that saxophone, and then one day he was there, and the next day he was gone. Yeah. I'm telling you, God gives every one of us what we are to use for his glory and his honor. Amen? And I want to talk to you a little bit about a story in the Word about today, about compelling us to use the things that Jesus, God, has entrusted to us for his glory. So if you have your books, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Are you ready? So when Jesus had called the 12 disciples together, then he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Verse 2. And then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What I read in this two scriptures is he called them, he gave them treasure, and then he sent them out. Amen? Is that what you get? Drop down to verse 10. So when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he, Jesus, took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healings. Because you know, wherever Jesus goes, there's always a crowd, right? There's always a crowd. There's always a multitude. Always. Maybe they don't all believe in Jesus, but they like to watch him do the healings, do the miracles, things like that. And then they sure got a good story. They could go home and talk about it. So there's always a crowd, always there. Verse 12, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a desolate or remote area. You ever been in the desert? Long way away from home. He replied in verse 13, you give them something to eat. And they answered, we have only five loaves of bread and two fishes, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, because we are not enough to feed all these people, Lord. Because there was about 5,000 people. And that was just the men. I'm told in those days that women and children were not part of the registry counted. But if they had their families with them, you can imagine how many people they were feeding, right? Right? So, verse 14. But he said to his disciples, have them sit, recline, down in groups of about 50. The disciples did so, and everyone sat reclined down, and taking the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and blessed them and broke it. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He kept giving them the food. Verse 17, they all ate and all were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, which was called overflow. In this story, there's a hungry multitude, right? And there's a lack of need of food for a hungry multitude. And we mostly always focus on the multitude and the five loaves and two fishes, right? And how it satisfied the crowd, how it satisfied everybody, right? And that it's a miraculous miracle to feed 5,000 plus whoever, right? But for a few moments, I want to talk about the disciples. I want to talk about the 12 disciples. And this story has something to do with them. And like I told you in the beginning, I love the Word of God. So I look at things a little different. So I put myself in there as the 13th disciple, okay? And so I kind of walked with them, felt what they were doing, kind of got myself in there thinking about it. And I want to talk to you about the disciples, those who walked with Jesus on a daily basis. They slept with Jesus, literally, all of them. They were being trained and discipled by Jesus, same as us today. I want to talk to you too. You're the disciples too. You are. You're here today. If you call yourself a Christian or a Christian or a believer, you're a disciple. Amen? So I want to talk to you as well today. I want to talk to those who are dedicated and are in close communion with Jesus. And I pray that you are. Those who are here this morning, even those who come Sunday night because they're more hungry for the Lord. And even come Wednesday, Sunday night, and Sunday morning, those are the ones that are really hungry for the Lord. I'm telling you, there's nothing to compare to the presence of the Lord. Once you've experienced it, you want more of it. Once you've experienced it, you want more of it. The disciples who are hungry for more and come Thursday night or Thursday nights to the choir, those who come Thursday mornings, the men who come Friday night, those are extracurricular things that you're doing for the Lord. You're all getting together to one another and family fellowship, but we're doing things. We're taking our time. Is it really our time? Or is it the Lord's time? He's entrusted us. But it's just, you know, I'm just throwing these out here, okay? So I'll go back to not meddling. I'll read my story here. The disciples who are hungry for more and come. And then because Jesus entrusted us with power and authority and then sent them out, he also entrusts us with power and authority to send us out. And I just want to ask you right now, how's your assignment working? How are you doing with your assignment? Or do you even know what your assignment is from the Lord right now? And there's another book, and it's in Mark. And the thing I like the best about the Bible is that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can always get a different perspective of some of the stories in each book. Like in Luke, it was more focused on the multitude. In Mark, it's more focused on the disciples. And if you go to Mark chapter 6, it talks about how he sent the disciples out two by two. He sent them out into the countryside on a daily basis. And then in the evening, they would come back to him and they would report to him of the report of what they did with the assignment that they had for the day. It was long and it was tough and it was difficult for them to do that. And it taxed them and it made them very tired. And sometimes they were so busy and so pressed by the multitude that they couldn't even eat. And so they were weary when they would come back in the evenings. But they still were excited because they were doing the work that Jesus Christ asked them to do. They gave an account to him and they didn't even eat because of being so busy. And again, they continually gave him an account of what was accomplished. And the neat thing about in Mark was, well, it was in Luke too, but in Mark, when they came back this one time when they were close to feeding the 5,000, Jesus saw that they were very exhausted. And that's why he said to come with me to Bethsaida. He wanted to get away and go. But I told you, when Jesus is in the house, people come. It's just that, the crowd. There's always some work to do. And today, there's always some work to do. There's somebody out there who needs to hear about the Lord. And you could be the very one who's been entrusted with the very treasure to reach that person before they leave this earth and spend eternity in hell. Do we even think about that? I told you, I'm more teacher than I am preacher. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you too have been given an assignment. And if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you have opportunity today to give your heart to the Lord. Amen. Then you can be a believer as well. And if the Lord was to come back right now, you would be with him in the twinkling of an eye, it says. Can you do that? You can't make a decision in a twinkling of an eye. So don't wait. So we've all been given assignments. So don't let anyone tell you that your assignment isn't important and isn't ministry. And I have some categories here. One of them is mothers. I work with children in children's church. And the number two and number three prayer requests is always pray for my mommies. And pray for my daddy and pray for my family to be okay. And I don't know about you, but when I had my children and I was younger and I was saved and I wanted to do things for the Lord, it was really hard for me to stop and take care of my children because I wanted to do these things. But I'm telling you today, if you're a mother or a single mom and you have children, that is your assignment. And I encourage you to fill that child with as much of Jesus as you can. That is your assignment. And if someone says, well, that's not a lot, don't listen. It is important because you are building that child in the way that it should go as it grows. And every meal that you put on the table, and young moms and single moms who have to work 2, 3, 4 jobs just to get food on the table, I commend you. And God has entrusted you with those precious children. And even the cat. Take care of the cat. That's an assignment. You see, your assignment may not be my assignment, but all working together, we can glorify the Lord and reach people for Him, right? So mothers, you're important. How about corporate men and women who work in businesses? How about logging, things like that in your circle of influence? That's your assignment. You have that assignment to share the Lord. You might be the only one in that circle of influence that can change those people. And when something isn't right and you feel it in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, this isn't right. We should stand up and say, well, this is a better way. And whether we get mocked or not, we're doing what our assignment was, right? To reach this world for Christ, just like the disciples back then. Another one is students. Even in elementary school, they can reach people that you and I can never reach. And it's so important to share Jesus with everyone we see. That's our assignments, right? Because on that campus, there may be children who are hopeless, who don't have really a home. And you could have the very, be their friend. So every person, every single person who believes in Christ has an assignment. Some have more. Some have at least one. What's your assignment? How are you doing with your assignment? And how are you doing and what are you doing with the treasures and things that He's entrusted to you? I implore you by the mercies of God to walk in a manner, to walk in the calling by which you have been called. That's God speaking. I don't know about you, but there's coming a day that we're going to give account, just like the disciples were giving back then. We're going to give an account for what we've done with our assignments and all the things that He's entrusted to us. We don't talk about that a lot. We like to talk about the frilly things. But there will be a day coming, and probably sooner than what we think. And I want to hear Him say, well done. How about you? I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. I was married before I married Shane, and my husband was killed in a logging accident. And before he was killed in that logging accident, we were youth pastors in a little tiny Assembly of God church. And we had 2 kids. Life was good. And then one Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, life was not good. But my husband, who now is in heaven, I know that, well done, because he's the one who brought me to the Lord. If it wasn't for him and his family, I'd probably not be here today. So I believe that his assignment was me. And when he was finished with his assignment, the Lord took him. Because my assignment was to come this direction. And I probably wouldn't be here today if that had not happened. But back in that time, at 10 o'clock on that Thursday morning, I wasn't even thinking, oh, yeah, in 2022, I'm going to be in Myrtle Creek. Not even. So you don't know what your assignment is until you do it. And you don't know the outcome of it until the Lord reveals it to you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So your assignments are important. And I want to hear that, well done, well done. And when I see him face to face on that day, because nobody knows the hour, nobody knows the day. We don't even know the second. And even our birth dates aren't really important. It's our death date that's important. It really is. That's really something to think about. But that's not even in my notes. But when I stand before him, he's not going to ask me how clean my home was. He's not going to ask me, well, did you make the best potluck? Whatever. He's not even going to care how many people I have on Facebook. He's going to ask me, did you know my son? And I'm going to look him in the face and say, yes, I did. And then I'm going to share my assignment with him. And I'm going to hear him say, well done. All this stuff, all the heartache, all the hurt here on earth is nothing compared to what he has for us in glory. So I challenge you this morning, that which he's entrusted in you, begin to look for it. Begin to search for it. I'm looking for a well done. How about you? So back to the story. So the disciples, if you read in Mark chapter 6, it talks about how the disciples went out two by two, and every day they kept going out, doing their stuff, getting doors slammed in their face, whatever, trying to bring the good news and the deity of Jesus Christ into the lives of people and making changes in people's lives. And I liken that as to us today. We should be doing that too. We have opportunities in the grocery store, anything, everywhere you go. You can always bring something around and make it towards the Lord. We have this friend, he's a youth evangelist called Johnny Jernigan. And we have a game we play with him, because when he flies in, we have to go to Portland, get him, drive him all the way down here. And the whole time we're driving, we try to stump him. He says, say a word, any word, I can turn it around and bring it right back to Christ. That takes a skill. That's his gifting. Try it sometime. Try and say something. Play a game, wives, children, whatever, at the supper table. Just speak out a subject and see if you can bring it around to talk about Christ. I challenge you to do that. It was really cool. But I want to pay attention to chapter 9 of Luke, verse 1 and 2. There's a recipe here for effective ministry. And I've heard Pastor Shane share from his heart so much about what he feels that God wants us to do as a body here, is to go out and reach the lost, right? It's to get the word inside of us. May not understand the word, but read the word. To get a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then to go out and touch someone. Be flesh to someone. You don't have to be witty in your wording. You just have to be present. Be there. A smile, a touch. A phone call, a card, something easy, something like that. Anyway, there's got to be an effective ministry here somewhere, and I wanted to find it, and I think I found it by jumping into the book and being a disciple back then. Can I share it with you? Okay, there's three ingredients, okay? The first one is in the first verse. It says, when Jesus called, he called them. Jesus chose you. Did you know that? I'm here today to declare Jesus chose you. In John chapter 15, it says it. Not only did he choose you, but he calls you friend. Yeah. And we're Gentiles, and so we're grafted into the vine, but he chose you. The only way that you can give your heart to Christ is through the Holy Spirit leading you to Christ. God chose you. I want you to say, he chose me. Do you believe that? He chose you. He chose you. He called you. And not only did he call you, that's the first one. The second one is that he gave them power. He equipped them. You know, I am so glad that the Lord doesn't expect us to have it all right to do that, because we don't have to. We just have to take that little bit that he's given us and entrusted us with and use it for his glory, and he'll take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. So step out a little bit in faith here, okay? Step out. But not only did he call them, I want to back up for a second. Thank you, Lord. He called them with his voice. We didn't get that. And what I say by that is that Jesus himself selected the disciples, right? Because all of the glory of God the Father and all of the glory of heaven above was all intermingled down to man in a fleshly body so that those people could hear God calling them, come, come. That's what I got when I was in with the disciples. And today I liken that as to, we don't have Jesus sitting with us, and we don't have Jesus, you know, verbally talking to us like they did. But he sent his Holy Spirit. And through that Holy Spirit that's living inside of us, that's calling us. That's telling us what to do. That's the unction. That's the function. That is the Holy Spirit. and that fire that's in your bones. And sometimes you even feel like, oh, I got to go do this, or man, I got to do that. That's that Holy Spirit telling you. Just like Jesus was telling the disciples, go out, go, go. The Holy Spirit inside of us is saying, go, go, do. And we're going, no, nah. Right? Maybe not. Maybe you are. So the second one was equipping them. And the third one is, and then he sent them out. Well, people forget number two, and we usually go to number three, which is he sent them. Go back to two. Sorry, my poor people back there are not keeping up with me. In order to go out, you can't go out in your own strength. We can't go out in our own power. Even as pretty as little Johnny is and his voice, he needs the Holy Spirit backing him in order to reach people for the Lord. You need to have all the tools and everything that the Lord has given us to go out and do number three, which is to send us out. Can't do it on your own, but the devil hopes that you would. The enemy, he hopes that you do. He hopes that you'll just go out, do this, I got this. I'm eloquent, I can do this, I can do that. I. And we don't lean on the Lord. We lean on our own understanding and we fail. That's what I mean about the second one, equipping us. He gives you what you need. He'll give you that. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power. It's the tools. It's the victory. It's the blood of Jesus. All these things. Who you are in Christ. You're the head, not the tail. Deuteronomy 28. There's just so many scriptures. So much. And then the third of the ingredient, of course, is sending you out. Sending you out. That one. He sends you out. But again, if you go out on your own, which we do, we forget to take Jesus with us, then you're going to fail because God's given you everything you need enough to do what he's called us to do. And the enemy hopes that you will go on your own wisdom and that you will use your own talents without the Holy Spirit, because then you'll fail. And that's the enemy's job, is to make us fail. Did you know that? He does that on purpose. He even knows he's going to get hit in the face, but he does it on purpose. And so you get to hit him in the face, or you're going to make him right. It's your choice. It's my choice. But remember this, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by whose spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. That is so cool. That little scripture right there saved my son Troy, because he fell off a crabbing boat. He was a crabber when he was younger. Not a crab as in being mean, crabby, but crab fishing. I guess I should verify that. And that's a hard job. But when he fell off, he didn't have on a life jacket or anything. And the guys didn't realize he'd fallen off. And it took a few minutes. And you just don't stop a big old crab boat, turn it around on a dime. That doesn't work. Takes a little while to get back. And in the meantime, he didn't know that they knew. And he just kept remembered two things. It's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the only thing that kept my son from perishing. That was his hope. That was what God entrusted in him for that moment. At that time. So words are powerful. Yeah, Johnny? Yes? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Johnny's story, for those of you online, was that he was out in a boat with his stepfather, and the boat died, right? It didn't work, and they couldn't get it to start. Did you pray? Oh, God was blessed in you, huh? And so finally they got it working. So God is good, huh? All the time God is great, huh? So again, I'm going to ask you, how are you doing with the assignments that the Lord's given you? I'm just throwing that out there at you. Back to our story, back to this. So I say all this to say, I'm closing. The multitude and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that day were important. The story is important. But back to the disciples part of this story was that the 5 fishes, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes was the gift to the multitude. But that multitude of people, that was the trial or the gift to the disciples to build their faith. Because what did they do? Let me tell you what they do. They do things that, oh, can I share them with you? There's 2 of them. This is what we do when things start getting hard on us. This is what we do when the multitudes of life press in on us. Okay? You ready? We read about it. The first one. They come to Jesus in verse 12 of Luke and they say, send the multitudes away. Please, I can't handle this. What are we going to do? There's too much. There's too many. We don't have enough. 5 loaves, 2. Have you been there? Have you had something happen in your life where you just don't have the substance for it? And God says, no, you're going to do it. Or you've been going through a trial or something that's made you sick and you're just saying, Lord, take this away. Or there's something going on in your life where you're just, oh, God, take it away. And God say, no, I'm not taking it away. So then what do? You walk through it. And then you start saying, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to learn through this? What is it? And so I believe and I feel that this story, the multitude was for the disciples to build their faith because they were trying certainly to do things in their own strength and in their own thinking rather than to rely on the spiritual side or their faith. Amen? So the first one was send the multitudes away, but that's not good enough because we say, Lord, send it away, but we also pray it away. And if you catch this in Luke 12, verse 11, it said that the Lord welcomed the multitude. And in verse 12, the disciples are not welcoming. So there's like this, see that? They're out of order. Catch it. That's in verse 11 and 12 together. So when the multitudes are pushing on us, then that must mean that there must be a miracle or something coming to us. There must be something that the Lord has entrusted in us to make this trial, to make this temptation, to make whatever's going on in our life that's not comfortable, to make it through. We just need to find it. Just find it. Hold on to it. And what is it? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's your faith in Him. Do you trust Him? Do you believe in Him? How are you doing with your assignment? And then the other one is here about they went and said, okay, Lord, please send the multitudes away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. So then what did they do? Okay, so Lord, send us away. Let us go and buy. Let us go and get. Let us get more, more, more. We can buy the whole city out and bring it back and feed this multitude. That sounds good to us. Can we do that? And what does the Lord say to them? No, you feed them. Come on. You feed them. Okay, well, all right. And that is just like today. Because what we do is when the Lord summons us or checks us in the heart and says, well, go do this, go do that. And you say, I don't have enough. I have lack. How on earth am I going to do this? Or the Lord's laid a dream on you, something that is impossible for you to do on your own. And instead of embracing it and trusting the Lord to open that door for you, you just say, no, send it away or send me away. Just get it out of here, right? No, we can't do that because the enemy will lie to you. He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to do that. So I encourage you today not to listen to the liar, to the enemy, but to press through. Find the treasure. Find that hidden envelope. Find whatever the Lord's entrusted in you. Walk through whatever it is you're walking through and get to the other side. And then thank God for it. And go on. It builds your faith. It makes you trust in Him. Because if we never had any trials or temptations, then we wouldn't trust the Lord. We could do everything on our own. Am I wrong? Is that right? Yeah. So we have everything we need. God has given us everything we need to be victorious, to overcome the trials, the temptations, and even the heartaches. Just like when I lost my first husband. That was hard. That was hard. And I had two little children. So I had a season of singleness. That was an assignment too. Life is an assignment. You may have five assignments, not understand. You might even have some dreams that you've put back in your pocket or just let die. But God may pull them out and want you to fulfill them. So don't give up. Don't give up, okay? Back to the story. So send us away. Let us go and get more and more. And so the Lord said, no, we're not doing that, okay? But in Mark chapter 6, and here we go again with the stories about in different people see it differently. Well, in Mark, it says that Jesus said to them, hey, what do you have? And then he said, well, go find it. Go look. Go look. Do you have kids or someone who's come to you and said, man, I'm bored. What can I do? Well, what do you have? Well, go look. You know, that's what Jesus was telling them in Mark 6. Go look. Go find. What do you have? Five loaves and two. That's all we have. We have our five and two. Okay. What are you going to do with it? Okay. What are we going to do with it? There's not enough for everybody. What do you think that Jesus was thinking right then? Where's your faith, oh little one? Right? Amen. So, after all the fighting, after all the turmoil, after all the trying to reason with the Lord, the disciples finally gave up. And they took their five and two. And they put it in the hands of the multiplier, which was Jesus. And if you read in verse 16 and 17, it says that he took their little bit, the five loaves, two fish. He took it. Didn't he? He didn't expect him to give him everything. Just give what you have. And that's what he wants us to do. He just wants us to give what we have. Our little bit. Our little dream. Our little money. Our little whatever it is. And just put it in his hands. Put our five and two in his hands. And see what he can't do with it. So then what he did is he lifted it up. And he blessed it. And then what happened? He started to hand it in out. He blessed it. All we need, are you listening? This is important. All we need is God's blessing. He blessed it. You need God's blessing on your life. Do you know what blessings are? It's the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. Since my children have been little, I have always prayed the favor of God on their lives. Always. And I pray the favor on you as well when we pray. Do you know what favor means? Favor means that when the thing is tipped in your favor, that's favor among the people. That's favor. Favor means that you can stand before kings and queens and your enemies. Favor means that you can stand and have a position that no man can take out of it. He cannot move you out. Favor means that no door can be shut and no door can be opened in your favor. That's what favor means. And that's what God gives us. If we would just surrender our life, surrender everything we have to Him. Surrender it, whether it be big or small, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Surrender it. It's His favor. I'm going to read what I said. Favor is what tips the scales a bit in your favor. Favor puts you in positions no one can take away. Favor puts you in the presence of kings and queens. The favor is God. The favor of God is what we want on our lives. He blessed it.